Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to the Train Happy podcast with me, Tally Rye. This is the podcast that helps you have a feel-good relationship with fitness, food, and body image. And this week, I'm chatting to Chris Hall. You might know Chris as a cat, a backing singer, a millennial trying out any type of wellness thing they can. But Chris is also a comedian and has had a really interesting background in fitness and performing. And we really get into how that impacted his relationship with food and body image and exercise. Now, a bit of a trigger warning for this episode. We do talk about some disordered behaviors around food and exercise and body image. So they're just a kind of heads up for that one. If you're not in the headspace to hear it, maybe this isn't the episode for you. But before we get into that, of course, it is time for Train Happy Trooper of the Week. This week's Train Happy moment comes from Chris in London, and not the same Chris that this episode is of, a different Chris.
Hi Tally, Chris here. My Train Happy moment happened just this weekend. I live in London and I'm training for a 100 mile walk, which means I have to get some serious steps in. However, I've been getting pretty tired of all the concrete I find myself surrounded by for hours on end during my long walks in the city. So I decided to take the train out of London to see some greenery. This was by far the best decision I've made in a long time. We only went about an hour out of the city and my training arena was transformed. Cars were turned into canal boats, shops were turned into countryside pubs, and the sounds of plane engines were just turned into songs of birds. I didn't even notice how sore my toes were or sweaty I was.
It's just that at some point along the way during training, I'd forgotten that walking isn't supposed to feel like a chore, and that I'd entered the race to walk for the joy of it.
And this moment helped me remember that.
Chris, firstly, good luck on your charity walk. All the best for that. And secondly, I love that changing scenery has made such a difference to how you experienced walking. I agree, as someone who's recently moved out of London, I know it's a bit of a privilege, but being surrounded by green spaces, I think, is so good for your mind, for your body. It's so nice to have things to look at this time of year as well. Nature is beautiful. So I think this is a really lovely encouragement for everyone to, if you can, get outside to do things and explore. Maybe you want to go walking, chat with a friend, do something, then you can really enjoy it and it can be really lovely. So yeah, I think this is a lovely time of year to get outside. So Chris, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Now, if you would like to share your train happy moment with us, we would love, love, love to hear from you. So please get in touch via our WhatsApp. You can find us on 075-999-27537. Send us a voice note like Chris did. Send us a message. We would love to hear from you. Okay, enough from me. Let's get into this really fun conversation with Chris Hall. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. I feel like you're going to bring some good energy today, so no pressure.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, I'll do my best.
I hope so. This has been a long time coming. I got to be a guest on your podcast like a couple of years ago now.
Yeah, 2021.
Wow. And so I've wanted to have you on because I think people are going to know you from being a backing singer, being a cat, being a millennial.
Some serious, serious roles.
Serious roles.
Yeah.
But actually, you have this whole background in fitness. You went to drama school. I mean, you've lived 9 lives already.
Yeah, well, quite. And hope very
that wasn't
cat-like.
A cat pun.
Very cat-like.
That wasn't a cat pun, but
no, yeah, definitely. It's been a bit a shift to like comedy and content and everything recently, but that's a very recent kind of development. Yeah, I've been a dancer since I was, I think I went to my first dance class, I was about 7, and then was dancing and then was teaching fitness, very similar to yourself, for the last 10 years or so in London. So,
wow. So like, talk us through it. So the progression, because I know that things changed for you during COVID essentially. Like,
yes.
It was TikTok and lockdown and you just started making videos and it's taken off,
yes,
massively. But there is like this whole other side, and I'm right in saying you studied musical theatre as,
yes,
well.
Yes. Yeah.
So what was that experience like for you?
I remember musical theatre college. So I remember like dancing being such a place where I just felt so alive, like from being so small. It was such like a place where I felt my most comfortable. Made the decision maybe when I was about 14. I remember coming home from a show. I can't remember which one, but I remember coming home and saying to my dad, like, oh, I want to be a dancer. And he was like, okay. Not sure, like, have no idea what to do with that. Cause just, I feel my parents were like school exams, uni, job that it doesn't involve dancing on a stage. They just had no idea what to like do with it. And then I loved musical theatre college. Looking back, I'm not quite sure like what we did apart from just run around in these studios pretending to be Lady Gaga's backup dancers. I remember it being so much fun and that side of it. And my friends from college are still some of my best friends today. So like I have a real nice little memory or little like connection to that part of my life.
I'm waiting for a but. I'm just sensing there's like but.
But it obviously comes with that career and that life comes with a huge amount of rejection, and it's definite its own bout of negativity and struggles that, you know, you have to go through. And I think the time after college, there was such high highs, because some of the highs are, you know, performing in a show and in a dream show with people around you and whatever, and it's the best, but it does come with very low lows sometimes. That I guess the teenage version of me would never have even thought. Two sides of a coin pursuing that career, I would say.
It so is. Because when you're a teenager, you go see shows and you're like, well, look, there's performers on a stage. I want that job. I'll do it. And you don't see all the thousands of people not working. So yeah. You're like, you think that there's so much work and that it's pretty straightforward to get into one of the toughest industries to be successful in and to get regular work in.
Definitely.
And I personally went to drama school. I didn't end up going into that professionally. I kind of found fitness first, and in some ways I'm really glad, because I don't know if I could have coped with more rejection. There was plenty of rejection at drama school,
yeah,
but with more rejection and more of the instability, even though my job is fairly unstable now, it feels way more stable in some degree. Like, I have more autonomy over my work.
You're way more in
work.
Control, which I think is something that I've really adored, like in the last 2.5 years or so, really taking the driving seat of what content I put out, what I create. You know, it's my decision what the cat says, and it's my decision what the backing singers sing to. Mm-hmm. I mean, Elizabeth does put in some
summer edition. She's your sister, isn't she?
Yeah, it's my little sister.
I've only worked that out today. I was just like, oh, some cute friend. I didn't realize it's your little sister.
Yeah, it's my little sister. People think we're dating, which
I feel like you followed your page.
I'm always like, people are like, oh my God, like, are they dating? And I just like want to comment like, no. Just like a, come on. But also just let people have their own their own thoughts about that. But no, she's my little sister.
Aww. Did she go down a performing arts route?
She's a singer and a songwriter. She plays guitar. She's kind of refinding her love of that. She thought she wanted to do that, but didn't really align. So she kind of stopped and like didn't really play her guitar for quite a long time. And then if you follow the link to her TikTok, she's like started just just sort of like sprinkling us with
a little
cover or like a little. She's like, I might film like a video today of me singing. And I'm like, please go do that. But also no pressure. But yeah, she's figuring it out, which is nice. Good to see.
That is so cute. And it must be really nice to see you just, like you say, taking ownership over what you're doing and really thriving. And I mean, so much of that comes through your 20s, through growing up. I mean, going back to drama school, like it is a very like make or break experience. And yeah. I don't know if it was the same for your college. I think my college, I think they were lovely in some ways. I think in other ways, the industry itself, like any college, they kind of break you down to build you up.
Yeah.
But somewhere, if you get stuck in the middle of the kind of breakdown,
you're just broken down.
It's tough.
Yeah.
And people with different personalities thrive differently, don't they? You know, they cope with it differently. And I know for me at drama school, like part of my way of coping it was like, I'm going to eat a certain way. I'm going to work out every day on top of everything else. And there's, you know, I can, for me, it was like, there's all these uncontrollables, like whether I'm going to get a job, like whether I'm going to get even a compliment today, or if I'm going to, right, if I'm going to even...
I just want to give Tally a hug.
Can I do this job? I was like, but I can control, or I thought I could control.
Yeah.
Like my fitness levels, my kind of diet, and then also what that made my body look like. And that felt like my way of like having control in a very uncontrollable world.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was your experience or the people around you's experience as well, whether you saw people kind of leaning on certain things to help them get through that time.
I do remember comments on people's appearance and stuff. I remember specific cases. I don't remember it being a real like vibrant energy or thing that was like drilled into us. I kind of just remember us more running around studios dancing. However, I do think that the like being a boy dancer at the time would have been a totally different experience for some of my female friends. And I'm sure that there was comments or, you know, pulls aside or whatever that I would have missed or just I've got over my head. What you're saying really resonates with me for my time after college. I think at college, I just had this like optimistic thing of like, literally, we're all going to be dancing for Lady Gaga. There's no alternative. Like, this is going to be fine. And then as soon as we started auditioning, and it became quite real that some people were going to get these jobs that were dream jobs and some people weren't, and some people weren't even going to get the chance to audition for them and all this kind of stuff. I definitely remember being post-college, the only thing I can control is how well I look when I get in the room. And I remember there being like a bodyguard audition or something, and all the boys had been told to take their tops off. So I had this thing. And I'd never been, like, looking back, I was just like a kid, like with a child body. Like that's like, you know, like, but I'd been quite bigger when I was like maybe 11 to like 14. I'd been a bit bigger. So in my head, I thought that I'm fat and unappealing. So then when I got to dance college, I remember being like, again, just so normal. But I guess I always had that mentality of when I had been younger, kind of circling around.
Yeah.
And then I went on a ship and I had the best time on the ship. But I remember having this feeling of like, don't come back off this ship fat. Like, don't come back off this ship fat. Come back off this ship transformed.
This is your time.
This is my time to like rebrand.
Really get in shape, quotation marks.
Yeah. And I remember like from even the install of the ship, we'd like rehearsal day. So you in install, you're rehearsing your shows during the day and then you're like teching them at night. And then you might open gradually as you're on the ship, you open your shows. We had like 11 shows. So install was quite long. And straight away, I was just like no carbs, absolutely none, absolutely no carbs, absolutely no sugar, none of that, no fruit, like so stupid. And then I was going to the gym between rehearsals.
When so you're like flat out dancing.
So like lunchtime, if we had an hour, I would eat for 10 minutes, go and do a 20 minute run and then like shower and go back to rehearsals, which is like, made sense to 21-year-old Chris. Mm-hmm. And I remember going, we'd been rehearsing, we'd do a tech run of the show. We'd have like 2 hours, you know, maybe to have dinner, like chill. And then we'd go and do two more, actually open the shows for passengers. And I'd go and do it. And I'd build up that run in between. So my fitness was like, you know, a 10-minute run was what I could really do. And then like I was building up this mid-show run on the treadmill. So then it got to the point, like maybe 6 months into the contract. I will say I was eating maybe like 3 plates of food at every meal. Like I was definitely fueling the body. And like it was all kinds of protein, all kinds of, all kinds of like veg and whatever. But my like normal workout would be a 10K on the treadmill, like an hour 15 of weights, and then another 10K. So I used to, in my
like a 10K sandwich.
Yeah. And I used to think like, imagine you're running to the gym and it's 10 kilometers away.
Where do you think you like got that from? Like the idea to do that?
Because on that particular contract, we had lots of C days and just loads of time. It just built up. Like, and I was like, oh, now I can do a 10K every day. And then it was like, oh, now I can do my 10K and my weights. And now I can do, and maybe why don't I try doing another 10K afterwards? Like I'm at sea. So there's like, you can, and at the time it was like 10 years ago, I think phones are so much better now. And like the Wi-Fi on the ship is so much better now. So you can be on what, I mean, also we're all addicted to our phones even more than we were 10 years ago, but I didn't have anything to do. And it was such this fervent, like, do not come back off this ship, that you can't. And I remember putting like a picture up in like swimwear, and I, you know, obviously looked different to how I'd looked previously. And obviously the comments were so affirming. So then by the time, that was maybe like 5 months in, I had 3 months after the contract, I remember being like, well, you've set a precedent now. You can't come back looking different to this Facebook photo. And I kind of don't look back on that time as using my time to exercise. I was eating loads, so it didn't really feel
too restrictive.
Or,
except the no carbs bit.
Yeah. Oh my god. The way I used to be like so no carbs, and I'd be to one of the singers who's a bit older, and he was, you know, a gym guy. And I just asked him all the time, I was like, what should I be doing to like lose this last bit? What should I be doing? And he was like, Chris, you're doing great. And I remember being like, oh, I just don't want to, you know, I really want to like get that last little bit of like skin off my stomach.
It's literally skin at that point.
Like, oh, please. But no, it wasn't very restrictive, but it was just, it was in excess, I guess. But then I didn't have anything else to do. Like there was nothing to do. I read a book. I did read quite a lot as well. But then I was doing, two shows. Like I do all that and then do 2 shows.
Yeah. Where you're dancing the whole time.
Yeah.
But do you know what? It's mad because I so resonate, because for me, like things really were escalating as I was like, you know, between 20 and 25 for me. And I think, you know, I always come back to, your brain is not fully developed until you're 25. Like our rational part of our brain that kind of can think a bit more critically and could be more aware that maybe running 2 10Ks, doing a full on workout, not eating carbs and doing 2 shows in one day might not be the healthiest mindset to have around movement.
Yeah.
But when you're 21, I know, but when you're 21, and like for me, like when I was in the thick of everything, especially at drama school, I was like, I'm just going to be the best performer I could be. I'm going to be the fittest one here. Mm. People might make comments. You're just jealous. Like, I look great and this is how I'm going to survive this industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have to say I was probably one of the most disordered people in my college. And to my fellow students, I apologize in some ways. But at the same time, like others were engaging in probably in other things that really normalized what I was doing.
Right.
So it kind of felt like, you know, and there was praise from teachers and praise from people around you, and post something on social media, everyone's hyping you up. And so it just, you kind of just like keep going with it because, you know, well, this is the thing and, you know, why not? Until it becomes really unsustainable. Was there a point for you post that ship contract or later on, maybe even a couple of years later, where you were like, hang on a second.
Yeah.
This is too much.
Too much.
This is all too much. And like, I need to give my body rest.
And I really enjoyed my ship contracts. Some people don't have a good time, but I remember both my cruise contracts. My just vibration was so high. Like, I slept so well. You have all this time to go to the gym. And obviously, I achieved this body by working out for like 3.5 hours a day. And then also having no money, where, you know, you're not paying rent or you're not buying your food. You're also doing your dream job. Mm-hmm. And you're like in the sun all day. So like, there's like this I remember just being at this like high vibration state for such a long time. And then you come back into London, you aren't getting auditions, you're comparing yourself to so many other people, you know, you are paying your rent, you are paying your food. And I remember like, why can't I uphold this body and this fitness yes. level that I am capable of? So that's when I feel my mindset got quite disordered, I would say. I remember having the worst self-talk ever and thinking like, you know, why can't you do your 2 10Ks today? And you'd be like, oh, because I'm doing like a front of house shift. Because
that's 20K, that's a half marathon. Yeah,
and I like, you know, was working at a bar last night. I'm doing a shift today. Like, and I don't have like 4 plates of food to fuel this, you know, 20K. And it's so funny actually being here. I used to work at a theatre. And I used to walk to Holborn and get the train home from Holborn. And I used to stop in the Sainsbury's on that corner.
Yeah, I know the one.
And I used to go and look at the ice cream, but not allow myself to have any of it. But I used to go and like observe it and like look at it and then think, like, another soon you can have this, but like not now. And I just think that's like so sad for like little 22-year-old me who just used to go and like look at a tub of Ben and Jerry's, and then that was all I was allowed because I like hadn't done my 20K that day.
But you know what though? It's like you said, when you initially, and this is definitely my experience as well, when you discover maybe changing your diet, you discover working out. And for me, I was a student, so I had a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was my priority to go and do this thing like every day. And I could make all my meals and everything. And even just after being a student, I was like, wait a second, I don't have the time or resources to do what I was doing before. I'm not having classes as well. And my body was starting to change. And obviously, so at first it's like, great, this is easy. Like I've got this, you know, I can put this time and energy into this. Mm-hmm. And like my body's changed. And then your body naturally, like everyone's body that goes, well, this is really unrealistic for me to even try and maintain because you do not have this much time, energy, like life happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, your body needs a bit more fat on you to like live life to its fullest.
Yeah.
But the denial of that and the kind of resistance to that was so great. And actually it was after college for me and like going into even when I started working in the fitness industry of like, I don't have enough time to work out like I did before. Like mm-hmm. I have to train other people. I don't have time to train myself.
And
you know, it's a funny one, isn't it? How at first it feels like great. And then it starts to become this thing where it does really start to dictate your day, your schedule, how you think about food, you know, all these little things. And, you know, I have so much compassion for you and me because early 20s is such a peak time for anyone to go through, you know, such a transitional time in your life as you kind of really go into adulthood that you're so vulnerable to, you know, engaging with food and exercise in that way because it feels not that bad. Like it's, you know, it's quite normal. Lots of people do cut out this or cut out that or whatever. And yet, you know, it doesn't have to be like that. Mm-hmm. It's, you know what I mean? Like it's hard. And that's why I always just feel so like protective of other people at that kind of stage of their life. I'm like, please don't make the same mistakes I did.
Just enjoy yourself and be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Because maybe when I was between 22 and like 25, I remember going on holiday with my parents and I was like trying to be like, you know, restrictive and in the first 3 days. And then I like just like let it go for the last 4, but like let go to this like extreme. And I remember my parents just, obviously, you know, they never said anything about what I ate, but they were just like, oh, wow, like,
You really?
Because I think I'd been at home being like, no, mum, no carbs. No, no, there's no, I don't eat that. No, I don't eat that. And I think they were like, oh, okay. We are eating loads of all this like food now. So it was just like this real confusing time of just being so hard on yourself, but then so restricted and then not enjoying, being able to enjoy like anything. Because yes. Everything was just so revolved around this. Oh my God, so much coffee and so much green tea. Like green tea. I can't look at it. just like I'll have three green teas, please, like after dinner, like to make sure it all gets metabolized.
Did you read that on a Pinterest quote? Did you save that Pinterest thing as well?
Because for me, it
was a Pinterest one. It was like, if you drink X amount of cups of green tea a day, you will boost your metabolism by blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced it's bullshit, but like it was like, oh, I have to drink green tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took food scales on holiday with my family.
Really?
I was a way out my food person.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're really fun to be around when you're in that time.
It must be so awful.
Great to go on holiday with.
Yeah.
When I first went on holiday with my in-laws, soon to be in-laws, I was like eating food out of Tupperware and like preparing all my own food separate from their food that they prepared.
Okay.
Because I was like, I'm gluten-free and this needs to be, in my mind, I was just like, fish and chips from the chip shop. I can't do that. That was scary for me. So I couldn't do it.
No.
And it's just, yeah, it's mad, the growth, because I go on holiday with them. We do the same holiday every year. I go on holiday with them every year.
Nice.
We'll go on holiday this summer. And I've noticed, and I wonder if you've had this as well, the more chilled out you can be on holiday and the more relaxed, just goes to show the progress in my relationship with food, especially. I'm like, oh, I really am just fully leaning into going with the flow, not needing to be in control, like just like letting, you know, eating whatever food I'm offered rather than me being like, are there vegetables with this?
Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah.
And, you know, oh, it's such a nicer place to be in. My God.
Yeah, so much nicer, so much more relaxed. And being able to enjoy stuff, you know, events and just everything can be so much more enjoyable.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I have been vegan for about 3 or 4 years now, with a little bit of flexibility in the last few months, I have to say. But on the whole, that was really good for me because it just meant it kind of really leveled out my panic of
carbs.
And just sort of like, well, this is what we're not eating. We're not going to eat, you know, these few things because of certain reasons, but you can have all of this and you can have like as much or as this sort of this as you want. And that I feel really sort of calmed my equilibrium, like the sort of like
helped you find your balance
and stuff. I found it a lot easier to like indulge in sweet or indulge in carbia or indulge in like anything, because it was like almost like, well, you can have this whole array of stuff on this side of the spectrum, which is good. It's been interesting though, because I was thinking about, oh, what can I talk about? Oh, I wonder what we're going to talk about. But I'm going through almost like a third shift, as it were.
Yeah, okay, interesting.
Because I started to be able to literally enjoy, well, just whatever I wanted to eat. But then because I was working in fitness all the time, I was just very active and, you know, would teach class, be able to jump into the next one all that kind of way.
Because you were teaching spin classes, you're doing a lot of them.
Yes. And then especially I used to teach bar classes, and you can really like rack up teaching a lot of them. Mm. And then you could just jump into one really quick. So I think that's such an amazing form of exercise, of just all over bodies, like sort of, you know, strength and like balance and stuff. And it was just really good to like knock those out, you know, whenever I could, kind of thing. And then because my career is no longer as active, and I'm just not running, you know, just walking studio to studio or doing this to this, I feel like my body is just changing sort of into a third little phase. And it's a lot more, like the priority kind of has changed, and just what time I have to dedicate to a class or working out or whatever. But that's a bit of a shift of like, no, maybe for the next few, like, and I was like, oh no, but I used to be able to do all this. And it's like, well, no, because like your job was studio, you were there, like that was your world. Whereas now it's, my focus is, you know, into, I'm creating content and I'm doing stand-up gigs, you know, late at night. So, you know, I can't wake up at 7 and go do the 8 o'clock class because you got in at 12:30 from a gig. So it's been a bit of an interesting mindset change again, like kind of coming off like ships and stuff when I have all this time. And then I had, okay, I have this time. And now I'm like, okay, you have this actual small amount of time, and that's okay. But it's like an interesting conversation to have with like my like cruise ship self,
yes,
and my empty college self, and my like now like my 11-year-old self, who was like, felt bad about being, I mean, but also how fat can 11-year-old be? Not even that.
But you know what? We all do everything often because of that younger version of ourselves. Yeah. Like, I think so much of it comes back to that, doesn't it? Because I always felt like I wasn't even a bigger kid.
No.
But just my body dysmorphia made me believe that I was.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is funny, isn't it? I kind of went through that similar process. I almost feel like just before kind of COVID, but going into COVID, especially because I just like stopped teaching, mm-hmm, and just stopped walking here, there and everywhere, stopped training people. I was just always on the move.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been a lot more sedentary in the last few years, mm-hmm, than I've been in the last over 10 years.
Right.
So it's like, I so know the adjustment.
Yeah.
And
but then what you're doing for your career, you're here, like, and you're doing all this, is where you need to be, where you want to be.
Priorities change, and what is important to me is a lot of this work. And it, you know, just the nature of my job has meant I'm at home a lot more. I'm doing a lot more in that way.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I think you're right. It is, especially when you've been in very active. I think it's really important to tell ourselves, and I don't know if this is helpful for you, and hopefully helpful for people listening, of like, I like to just think of everything as a season, and just this season of your life, your career, because we've already known you've lived like 10 careers to this point. So this season of your career, so this season of your career, like, you know, working out and being at your like peak fitness levels is not the priority.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's not to say that might happen again.
Right.
It might not. You might just say, remember that time in my 20s when I was like super, super, you know, my fitness levels were so high.
Mm-hmm.
And like, okay, that is what it was. And I think for me to make peace with that, and kind of encourage people to go, like, you have to really zoom out and think like really big picture and just go, okay, so this year, these next few years where I'm really building this career and I'm putting this time and energy into comedy, say, like, this is actually a very small chapter of my life in the grand scheme of all the many chapters that will exist.
Yeah.
And this is a chapter, and there's going to be 100 more to go. So like, you know, you want to fully invest in and succeed at what you're doing. And like, if your body changes and it fluctuates or whatever, like, that's okay. That's where your body needs to be at this point while you do the other thing, you know?
Totally. And like, can you imagine the alternative is, you know, not taking gigs or not spending time writing a show because I've got to go and do, you know, a class, whatever. Like, now it's such like a alien concept to me, but like 24 to lockdown, the gym or whatever class I was going to do would not get taken out of the day. Mm-hmm. Like anything else would get deleted from the day, mm-hmm. but that. For that such the longest time, and now that's the first thing that has to, you know, if I'm like, oh, I'll try and go to the gym tomorrow, but like, oh, I don't have time.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing to get deleted, which is such a strange conversation to have with yourself. And I have to like be like, you don't have time to go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, but I do. And I my mind is like, you know, in a video or it's in a joke or whatever. Like, so I would go to the gym and just like not do
be
anything.
Present,
yeah. I just be there and then like leave. Yeah. But it's like just a very, yeah, as you say, a new season to be going into and not making myself feel guilty, not being like, well, then you can't like have dinner tonight then, or, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, but it's like, but
I still need dinner. You just really didn't need to go to that.
And your brain needs the energy to like think of all the stuff.
Yeah.
And I always say to myself, like, what would I have done? Who could I be and what would I have done if I had given myself more time and energy to be creative? Because I think a lot of, because I spent so much time in the gym and thinking about what I was going to eat and da da da, like just so much headspace and time and energy. I'm like, I could have read all these books. I could have been up to date on this political issue. I could have been, you know, I could have written a show and I could have done it. And it's like, oh, like sometimes I feel sad. Like there's all this. Did I waste all that time? I don't know. Like, you know, I learned a lot from it. It's led me down the path I am now, but I also wonder what could have been. I don't know. It's a part of like a grief of a career I never actually got to have.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of a sadness of like the time and energy I put into that thing. And then a part of gratitude of like, well, I'm here now.
Exactly.
And I'm sure the same for you. Like it's kind of all roads have got you to this point in some ways.
Definitely. I feel very content and very aligned with where I am now. And wherever it's heading is great. And I'm here for it. And I'm so grateful. But yeah, there's obviously, you know, that the dream was the teenage dream, or, you know, even the 7-year-old dream was to, you know, be a dancer and dance. And not that I didn't dance. I had some great,
You need to do
moments.
More routines.
I know, you always pop up.
Every time you do it, I'm like, yes.
You always pop up being like, yes, you're dancing.
Yeah, I love seeing you dance. Like, it's so good.
Oh,
you're very good.
Thank you. It is so fun. Like, I obviously, like, I love it. It's the best.
Because for me, it's like the same with my singing. Like, I never sing ever publicly, but it's like my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah.
And it's just one thing I'm like, oh, I wish I got to do that more. And it's hard to find a thing for it, but like you can record videos and put them on TikTok and I want to see them.
Yes, okay.
Like I want to see more videos.
We'll do it.
Was comedy always on the cards for you, or was this a thing that you've kind of fallen into?
So I would say that being funny or trying to make people laugh was not to get sort of like very sort of deep, but I feel like dancing was what
deep.
I like did and what I loved to do and what I wanted to do, whereas I think making people laugh and like comedy was like more who I am.
Mm.
And it was how I navigated social situations. It's how I like survived school, because I'd just try and make, you know, people laugh, especially realizing I wasn't like most other boys. And I went to a boys' school and everyone was very like sporty and like, but like, let me just make the rugby boys laugh and then I can like run away and then we'll survive. I used to be like, as soon as I just make someone laugh, I'll be in and I'll relax and they'll think that they'll like me as well, because I'll be like, Chris is funny. And I remember being at musical theatre college and a musical theatre teacher being like, you've got such good comic timing. And I used to get like funny roles in musicals, like, you know, the third year musical, second year musical, I'd get the funny role. And then I remember like in my mid-20s, like maybe 25, 26, I was like, I would love to make content. I would love to have a podcast, or I'd love to. And I was like, oh, I'd love to do. I started watching more stand up and I was like, I would love to have done this. But I always felt I'm so down this one road now. I can't turn back and like start another kind of career.
Yeah. Because performing is so all in. You really have to be all into it and lean really hard into it if you're going to really make any headway in the industry.
Totally. And then, yeah, I remember thinking maybe 28, like just before kind of lockdown, I was like, oh, I'd love to have maybe, you know, I was watching like, more, you know, the more kind of sitcoms that I was really relating to were coming out. And I was like, oh, I feel I could do that, or I could come up with one of these, or maybe I could start. And me and a couple of friends used to talk about, you know, should we make a video for YouTube? Should we do this? But again, it was almost like, just before COVID, I kind of had a really career high choreography wise, did some choreography on television. And I was like, it was like Christmas 2019. And I was like, okay, we're like riding this wave. We've crested it, crested this wave. And so I just thought, you know, you're kind of this far along choreography. Like you can't suddenly turn around and try to do open mics. That's just ridiculous, and try and do stand up. And then obviously we know what happened. Everything just disappeared. And the momentum I thought I had, that momentum that I was like, you can't stop this train. Very much did stop. That's when I kind of thought, I really put loads of effort in the first lockdown into choreography. I was like putting loads of dancing on online, but it always kind of felt like I was maybe kind of really reaching for something or clawing at something, and just not quite getting it, not quite sliding into place. And then when lockdown 2021 happened, and we literally had nothing, you know, left again. And I'd started to put a couple of videos out before. This is something I wanted to do and thought I could do for about 5 or 6 years. And if you literally don't do it now, there's no other time you can do this. Like if no one thinks it's funny, everyone's in their house, you're not going to see anyone for a really long time.
You can hide under your blanket.
Yeah, you have to. The blanket was born. And that new year, I remember being like, I'm just going to give 2021, I'm going to give it a year.
So can we talk about this is the first kind of series of content I found was millennial at home.
Yeah.
Explaining wellness trends to their mum.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through the trend? Because I actually think it's quite apt for this podcast. It's hilarious. I loved it because my friends are very woo and I am not woo.
Okay.
And
okay.
I love
that woo is the word.
Yeah, everyone knows what I mean.
Woo. Yeah.
And I kind of loved that you were laughing at all the things that they were doing, but I also think you probably do some of those things yourself.
Yeah.
So I was like, I really loved the irony of it all. Talk to us about the series, the inspiration behind it. How it escalated, I think.
Well, I think I was going through it. At the time, I was really going through it. Yeah. And I was trying, like, you know, my friend had got me a crystal, and I my friend's a pranic healer, and I was having pranic healing sessions on Zoom, and I hadn't started therapy then, but I was like going to, and I was journaling so much in that lockdown. I was like, in this time, I want to do everything I can to like put myself back together. And so I was partaking and learning as it was kind of going on. What was really nice is that like the non-spiritual community at the time were like, this is really funny, but it feels quite lighthearted. Mm. And then the spiritual community were like, we love the videos because
there's
not really a butt of the joke. I'm the butt of the joke. Yeah. And I'm very happy to be the butt of the joke.
Butt of the joke is the way you're trying to communicate with the mum. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was at my parents' house for some of lockdown, and I had a past healing regression session upstairs.
So it's not funny. And but I'm just picturing funny. It happening in no, your no, parents'
and
house.
I said, Mum, you cannot come here, because my mum knows the exact time. Like if you're changing, if like, you know, you're just not together in the morning yet, if you're like on the phone to someone, if you're on a Zoom, she times it perfectly of dum dum dum, Christopher, dum dum dum, like if you're at home. And I'd gone back to she won't appreciate that impression at all. And I'd moved back in, and we were trying it with me and my older sister, my mum and dad, and we were trying to like rejigsaw these like four adults like now under one roof again for a little bit. And I was like, you cannot come upstairs and knock on the door, Mum. She's like, why? I was like, I'm having a past life regression. And she was like, what is that? I was like, I'm logging on to a Zoom with a spiritual guide in Australia, and he's going to coach me through a past life regression. Because I remember saying, like, because maybe like my past self can like, I can help figure out like my figure this out. Yeah, it can help me. And she said, am I going to be there? And I was like, I don't know, Mum. I don't know. But what But what I do know is that you cannot come and bang on the door and like you can't walk in. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
So there's a lot of like...
am I going to be in your pub?
Yeah, she's like, am I going to be there?
I'm just picturing like Victorian boys. I don't know why. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
yeah. So I was very much living that life that I was like putting out with obviously, you know, some comedic exaggerations on some way.
I find it so funny.
And I'm coming out of lockdown, people were like, oh my God, that was me. And that was me and my mum. Mm-hmm. And that was me and my partner, or, you know, and there's such a like a nice group of like followers that are like, I've been here since lockdown. And I'm like, we did it.
That's
we did
me.
That.
That's
but then,
me.
But then it got me through. Like, everyone was going through it, but I was really sad. And my like purpose for the day was to come up with a, you know, a TikTok and a joke and figure something else out. So everyone was like, you got me through lockdown. I was like, you got me through
lockdown.
You and me both. You got me through. And I'm really trying to bring that character now into, you know, the world now, because I feel he was very specific to lockdown. Mm. But I'm trying to figure out a way to, he's been like knocking on my mind's wall recently to like, can
like
we try?
How is he in 2023?
Yeah. How is he doing like in day-to-day life when he's allowed out? But yeah.
And I know you're taking your show to the Fringe, your stand-up
yes.
show. It's called Self Helpless.
Yeah.
Love the name.
Thank you.
Love Thanks. The name. So I'm presuming some of this is going to be
exactly.
in there. We're going to
yeah,
talk
yeah.
about past life regressions.
Yeah,
surely.
It's all about, it's kind of all linked to like, kind of make poking fun at just being a millennial and like,
yeah.
everything we
throwing
do.
Throwing all the shit at the wall.
And literally,
what's stuck?
let me try every form of, every self-help book, every wellness thing. Let me like, not look at my phone all day. Let
yeah.
me actually look at my phone all day because it's, there's life coaches on there.
Yeah.
Let me go to the gym 5 times a week and then actually never go again. And let me try these crystals. Let me try this candle and
yeah.
see what actually helps. And all being a bit helpless in the meantime, but it all being all right in the end.
I love this. And is there anything that has genuinely like stuck for you that you're like, actually, I threw a lot of shit against the wall and a few things did actually work out?
I did start going to therapy, which is something that I wanted to start doing for quite a long time. And it had a little,
We love therapy.
We had a little break. We had about a 5-month break. And then I've actually just recently gone back. And I think, you know, if you have the means to, it is a really, really valuable tool. And a lot of people always say, I don't need it yet.
You preach on this.
Going at a non-danger zone, if you can.
It's prevention.
Is so, so, so beneficial. And I think a lot of people I surround myself with are all very good. I'm fine. Finers. And, or I don't need to talk about that. Or I don't need to like really address that. And I think as soon as you unzip the first, or you unlock the first, like, you know,
layer,
there will be a lot of stuff under there to you know, figure out or talk about if you have the time and the means to, is really beneficial. I'm a huge advocate.
So many people wait until they're at a breaking point or
yeah.
they're at, but actually I think therapy is so important throughout your life. Like, you know, I don't consider therapy just something I've done once off. It's something I want to keep coming back to
yeah.
throughout my life, because there's always stuff to A, work through, and B, learn about yourself. For me,
totally.
It's the self-awareness angle of like, why am I reacting to this way to these things?
Yeah.
Why does this make me feel particularly shit? Why am I really sad about that?
Or, yeah.
You know, and just being curious. I think it's so important to have that space where it's like judgment-free zone. I get to completely vent and share and open in a way that I could to my loved ones, but they would have a reaction off of it.
Yeah.
And like, you don't have to manage anyone's reactions. You can get to truly just be, I think.
Totally.
If you find a really good therapist, then it's that.
Yeah, that you feel comfortable with. I think that's, you nailed it by saying just being curious about who you are and curious about really what's going on inside you and being open to being vulnerable and being open to being maybe not that thrilled with yourself at times.
Mm.
But then thinking why and
yeah.
being like,
yeah, rather than,
oh, how can we do that better next time? And
totally.
Yeah, I think that's good.
I'm being like, why did I do those 2 10K runs a day?
Yeah,
like what was that about?
Yeah, were we okay? Yeah, and not going at a crisis point. I went straight after a breakup
mm-hmm.
and I cried about that man for an hour for like probably three months in therapy, which obviously was a great outpouring of emotion. But then like I remember went in 1 week and I was like, okay, I think I'm good with the breakup stuff. And then
she's like, finally, we can actually do some work.
We can actually like talk about something else. That's been a lot. So it's very good to go when something really bad has happened. But obviously, you know, if you can. I do love journaling. It's really hard to do it. I think, you know, like when there's loads of distractions to do. You know, I journaled a lot in lockdown when
life was a bit quieter.
Nothing else to do. But I think really helps if you're having a thought storm or you're having like, you know, you feel a bit anxious about something, you're not quite sure how you feel about something, or if you've got a scary conversation to have or a bit of a confrontation, I feel getting it down off paper, getting it on paper, whatever's on your mind, makes it a real thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to it being this abstract, invisible mm-hmm. thing. And if it's a real thing, it's a notes on your phone, or it's a, you know, a page in a book, you can actually do something with this real thing. You can give it to the person that needs to hear it, or you can rip it up, or you can
burn it,
do it again, you know. And I think it's really helpful to make something you know, abstract, making it real.
I have to ask you, what has been your most recent train happy moment, Chris?
Oh, my most recent train happy moment, I think I do get a little buzz if I do a TikTok dance.
Yeah.
Because that is just...
Is that like your favorite? Is dancing like your primary favorite form of movement, would you say?
I probably, but I do... There are some forms of exercise that I do really love as well. And I love how they make my body feel. I love learning a technique and then getting better at it. So like I started boxing with a friend. And that's like a whole new skill.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, a whole new way of moving my body. Not that good. It's not something I'm a super
instructor
good at. I'm not about to instruct it ever.
Yes.
It's totally new and it's really quite humbling in that sense. But then it's, you know, really, really fun and it's something so different. So that's really nice. I would say, but I guess being able to dance without having any, there's no future like life to this dancing moment.
Yeah, there's like no consequence to it. It's just being in the moment.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga's come on, Britney's come on.
We're doing it. So actually me and my, one of my best friends from college, Jake, who's literally a superstar, he's on telly every week dancing. But we just had like, he was like, I want to come around, I want to do a TikTok dance. I was like, okay, babe. So we just got in my living room and just did 3 like together. And for like a moment, you know, it was just like, he was, when we met, he was 16, I was 18. And it was just like, oh, we just used to do this at college. We used to go around people's, each other's houses. We used to learn, you know, Lady
Music
Gaga.
Video,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was a really nice moment. We were just like, and it was just like, okay, bye. Like, and there was nothing further. It
yeah,
was just
yeah, yeah, yeah.
make these videos in our living
Fun.
Room. Yeah, that was really nice.
You should go to, and it's not like the same kind of flat out dancing, but it's the kind of dancing where like if you're alone in your kitchen, I think you probably do like really good choreographed dancing, but like it's choreographed enough, but it's just really fun and easy.
Yeah.
There's a class at Frame in London.
Oh, nice.
And I think it's called their dance cardio class.
Uh-huh.
Never had more fun in my life.
Oh, really?
It was the
oh,
best
good.
One ever. I have to show you a video after we stop recording.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was actually the guy who taught it was the best energy ever.
Nice.
So it was like sort of choreographed, but like he essentially, it was like he'd choreographed himself as if he was like dancing in a club. And
nice.
Like you were just copying his moves.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was
yeah.
a little routine. I feel like you would love that just for the vibe. Just for
yeah,
like the,
you just want to like...
You just want to get your heart rate up and just vibe.
Yeah.
I feel like you'd love
and
that.
And just move to music.
Yeah. Chris, where can people find you, watch your videos, see you on tour, see you live?
Ooh.
You're going to be at Edinburgh Fringe for a whole month.
Yes. If you find yourself in Edinburgh in August, I would love you to come and see yourself helpless. 8:40 at night. So perfect time. You can have mm-hmm. dinner, have two or three drinks, but maybe not too many if it was a bit later. Yeah, so that's there. If you won't be in Edinburgh, I've got a few previews in London, hopefully elsewhere, and maybe there'll be live for the show after. And you can find all the info on my Instagram, probably, which is Christopher Hall with an X instead of I of the I. So if you just type in CHRX.
And that's the same on TikTok as well, right?
Yes.
Go check Chris out. You've seen his videos anyway, because there's literally cats and backing singers and everything. You've all seen the millennial blanket. You've seen the red blanket. So yeah, you're going to just love it. And I just wish you all the best. I want to come try see a show. I want to do that if you've got London shows.
Yeah.
Don't know if I'll make Edinburgh, but...
No. Come.
I'd love to do London one.
Yeah. And congrats to you. This setup is amazing and you're
doing
it.
Thank you. So nice to see you. We'll have you back when you're like taking over the world. Even more.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
But that is it for this week's episode of the Train Happy podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you took something away from this episode. And if you did, please do let us know on social media. You can find us on Instagram at Train Happy Podcast. And we do want to hear from you. We want your questions. We want to hear your Train Happy moments. And we'd love to feature you as Train Happy Trooper of the Week. So remember, you can get in touch with us via our WhatsApp. It is 07599 927 537. And whatever podcast platform you're choosing to listen to us on, please rate and review. It really helps the show and it really helps spread the Train Happy message. And that is it for this week. I'll be back with a brand new episode for you next Monday. See you then.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.